today we are back with We Are the Church. And this week I heard some people say, well, the church has done this and the church has done that. And I'm like, come on, are you not getting it yet? We are the church. The church did nothing. You are the church. We did it to ourselves. Now, I understand what they meant. I understand. And I understand there are times where the big church or the leadership of the church do let us down. But come on, we've got to try and get ourselves away from this idea of there's an us and them, or there's this building, or there's this hierarchical group. No, come on, we are the body of Christ. So therefore, we are the church of God. Amen? Come on, everywhere we go, we are the church. And this is what we keep hitting. We're on week number 7 with this thing. We haven't become a broken record. We just know there's more that the Lord wants to teach us. And we're going to keep battling this by faith until more of us receive the revelation that God wants us to know, that we are the church. And so today we're going to talk about that we're the church and we are advancing. Come on. We are the body of Christ, and we're not just one of these groups, settlers, you know, where we break some ground and then we settle. You know, that's happened history after history after history through all the generations in terms of men and women. They start off pioneering and then we begin to settle. No, we are going to be the men and women that will advance. And it will not be for our own glory. It will be for His glory and the desire and the dream that more people is going to come to know Jesus. This is why we're advancing. Here's what Jesus spoke. Words of Jesus, Matthew 16, verse 18, he says this, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," or you could use it for hell, "shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Come on, we're going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to move mightily. Lord, we pray that you would bless and anoint us. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, move, move, move in our hearts. One of the toughest places to move. Move, move, move in our minds. Come on, Lord, you're going to do it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So we are talking about that we are the men and women of God who advance the kingdom of God. What an unbelievable privilege. What an unbelievable thought that we get to advance the kingdom of God. Imagine there's a line and we're the army and we get to move that line. And it's a line of love that comes to invade every place, every city, every heart. And we've got some news that's coming up hopefully in the next few weeks where God is doing fresh things. We're just about to open our coffee shop again. We're going to call it Vibe Cafe, but it's going to be donation-based cafe where people come in, they just get simple food, they can have great shots, a safe place, a warm place, an incredible place of love, and we're going to open 9:30 to 5 p.m. every day, apart from Wednesday morning. And our wonderful interns are going to be a part of that and help them to make it incredible. If you didn't know, we've got a brand new intern that's just joined us called Rachel. She's just called Rachel, all the way from South Africa. We met her last November, and she says, "Come on, I'm coming." And I'm like, "Let's go." You see, there's something that God's doing where He attracts like-minded people into the harvest fields so we can continue to reap a wonderful harvest with the harvest that's in front of us. And so I want to say to you that God is doing new things and there are more things to come, but our job is to keep advancing. And the enemy wants to slow us down and he'll use pain and hurt and rejection and past to affect that. But we want to call ourselves and remind ourselves, come on, just like Peter, we are the rock that God has set. We are the church that God has built. We need to allow Him to build us so that more people can come to faith and so that the enemy does not overcome, but we overcome the enemy. Amen? And so it notes in the middle of Matthew 16 that on this, Jesus said, "You are Peter," and let's just remember Peter, he was a bit of a scallywag, we would say. He was a bit of a monkey at times. He would be good, he would be bad, he would be great, he would be terrible. And he would fluctuate. In fact, I think he was a bit like me. Maybe he's a bit like you. Normal person. Some days really good, sometimes not so good. Sometimes putting his foot in it, sometimes doing really well. And this day, Jesus comes and he points him right out. And he says, "I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Now, I don't want us to get confused. I don't think Jesus was saying that Peter was the ultimate rock and there would be nobody else like him. I don't want us to get confused like that. But I think what he was trying to say was, or at least to the best of my knowledge and wisdom, hopefully imparted by the Holy Spirit, is that just like Peter was a person, he was a man who followed after the things of God, and God was going to use men and women like Peter to build his church. We were going to be the living stones of the temple. We were going to be the men and women that God would use, the ordinary people, the broken people, the destitute people, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the sinners. and God would use them, turn their lives around with the wonderful gospel of Jesus, and they would become now part of the building blocks of the new kingdom. Come on, isn't this like God, that he would take something that was no good and broken and dark and lost, and he would cause it to become useful? This is what God does in our lives. And Peter was a normal, everyday guy, but Jesus declared, "You're my rock, Peter." And I believe the Lord's declaring that over your life today. If you've put your trust in Jesus, "You are my rock, and I'm going to build my church with you. And the gates of Hades or the gates of hell will not prevail against you." Wow. The works of darkness are coming, but they will not prevail against you. I mean, back in old Israeli days, there would be I'm lost for words, but there would be debates taking place at the gates of the city. A lot of times court cases would take place at the gates of the city. This is why it was very relevant that Jesus would use this, that the gates of Hades or the gates of hell will not prevail against you, because there was authority at the gates, right? A lot of the times problems were sorted at the gates, issues were sorted at the gates. There was something about the gates. And Jesus said, "I want to say this, that the gates of Hades, the gates, the power of darkness, the authority of the dark world, the authority of Satan himself will be no match compared to you." Amen? Come on, say hallelujah if you agree. Jesus is our foundation and we are the church. I want to tell you that today. Come on, Jesus is our ultimate foundation, isn't he? Come on, Peter is not the rock, is he? Not really. He's part of the building blocks to build the church, but he's not the foundation. Jesus is the foundation. Amen? Come on, we know this. Scripture tells us over and over again, he's the chief cornerstone. Our lives are built on the rock, which is Jesus. We cannot be moved. We are built upon him. Our lives are in him, and our lives are through him. And so today God is building his church, which is me and you. And today God is building me, and he's building you. This is great news. And this is why we are the men and women of God that are advancing. Because like we said last time, I remember Ian, when he's getting his gallbladder out, he was lying in hospital, and there he was evangelizing to the people around him, telling about church, telling about the things of God, seeing people's lives turned around. This week, I got incredible news about my knee. Now, I'm believing for full healing, but through a series of events, I got unbelievable favor, and they're going to operate on my knee for free in about 3 weeks' time. And so I want you to believe. I believe for complete healing, but I also believe that God has provided the health care system for us. He has equipped incredible surgeons and physicians. And if they're going to heal me through God's help, so be it. Or if God's going to do it before, amen, praise the Lord. But God is moving things. And I want to say he's doing that for your life. And he's not getting you better for comfort. He's getting you better for speed. Come on. I know a lot of us are addicted to comfort. "Oh, I just want a new sofa." We got a new sofa. It's actually really nice. No, I'm not against sofas. Sofas are not evil or demonic in themselves. Of course not. But there is something about it. If we build our lives toward comfort, then we will not have the enthusiasm to go after the lost. We will not have the enthusiasm to go and reach people. We will hold ourselves back at times, and we won't even know it because we're just like, "I'm so cozy." You know, some people say that about the worship nights and the prayer times. Our worship times are ridiculous, by the way. I'm just telling you, Wednesday night was just another level off the charts. It was just incredible. But I know you sit inside, you light the fire, you turn the heat up, you put the blanket on, you get the TV on, and you go, "Oh, I don't know if I want to move anymore." But I tell you what, if something is moving in your heart and God gets a grip of your spirit, or there's just something you're desperate for, you'll move hell and high water to get whatever it's going to take. And I want to say to you, don't allow comfort to rob you of your victories. Amen? Come on, pursue the things of God. We are advancing. God's growing me. He's growing you. He is building his church. And the gates of Hades or the gates of hell or the kingdom of death is not going to prevail against us, no matter what he tries, no matter what they try, no matter what is done to us. Come on. Come on. And so for me today, here's what it means in real simple terms. God's on our side. How good is that? He is on our side. We are on the right team. We have the right captain. We are in the right team. We cannot lose. God is on our side. Number two, we will not just survive, but we will thrive and we will grow. Come on. How good is that? That's what God's doing in our lives. He is advancing us in every form. And even the works of Satan himself cannot prevent us. I will build my church. I want you to focus on these three words just for a moment. I will build. I will build. This is not "I have built." This is not "I'm building." I will build. This is future. This is Jesus talking about the future, and we're living in the future. But I want to declare today that God's still building. The enemy cannot say it's done. The enemy cannot say it's over. Sometimes we get tripped up with scripture and we go, well, that's obviously finished now. We're in a different dispensation, to use a big, huge word. We're in a different season, if you want to use it that way. That's not for today. We get caught up in all these different timelines. And yet, what the Lord said? I'm not restricted by your time. I'm outside of all of those things. And I love what Jesus does here. He says, I will build. This is always future. It's always to come. He's always building his church. There's always something better ahead. The best is yet to come. Come on, we haven't seen anything yet. He's always doing something great. And so it's not done, it's ongoing. And so I want you to be encouraged today. God is moving in us and through us, and he will continue to do that over and over again. Today, God is still building his people. And still the enemy cannot defeat us. And I've got to put that over your heart, because so many of us feel at times like the enemy has won, or he has done too much damage, and I'm damaged goods. Can I tell you today that all of us are damaged goods, that all of us have issues, that all of us have problems, and yet the gospel still works. The blood of Jesus washes you white as snow. There is no condemnation to those who love the Lord. If you've given your life to Christ, then it does not matter what the enemy says. And here's what I want to say. Even if it's true, it's not true. You've got a terrible past. It might have been true, but not anymore. You've got a better word. God says, I've made all things new in you. The old things are gone. The new is here. But you did this. Yes, I did. And I take responsibility for it. But that's not my identity any longer. I will take responsibility, but I will not identify as that any longer. The Lord has done a new thing in me. Amen? Come on, the enemy's going to try every trick in the book. And if he can get you defeating yourself, he has won. Because everybody listens to their own voice better than anybody else's. Have you noticed that? No, I could never. We defeat ourselves constantly, but God says, come on, the gates of hell itself cannot prevail against you. Two important keys I want us to think about. The kingdom of God is still advancing. Come on, that's so important. You got to know this. And then number two, we are the people who advance forward. Again, if we don't remind ourselves of this, it's so easy to look around and go, oh, I'm so overwhelmed by what's going on. Sin's everywhere. There's all these big major issues everywhere. There's identity crises. There's marriage crises. There's church crises. There's just so many crises. And like, what am I supposed to do with this? And it gets us insular, and it gets us looking inwardly, and it gets us shut down, and it gets us disabled. And yet the Lord says, I'm advancing my church, and I will build. And I want to say to you that he will build in every season. He doesn't need the perfect brick. He's not like this builder that needs the perfect tools and the perfect brick. We've got that saying, don't blame blame the tools, blame the workman. God doesn't need these things. He says, I can work with your oddness. I'm being real. Maybe I'm looking at myself. I can work with your crookedness. I can work with your dishonesty. I can work with your lies. I can work with all this stuff, because I'm the God who's going to transform you. And God does. And sin has ripped us apart from God, but his wonderful love has filled the gaps, and his wonderful love washes you white as snow, and his wonderful love covers a multitude of sins. And so God says, I'm with you, I'm for you, and I will build. Don't listen to anyone, anything, or any other, because God says, I will build. And I want to almost drag you today if we need to, because he wants you to advance, and he has designed you to advance. You see, our faith is not a product. It's a relationship. We don't need something new. I think this is one of the biggest trips that we have in modern society, in our modern culture in the West. It's like, well, I got to get the new thing. What's the new thing that God's doing? I love the new thing that God's doing, but it's just a buildup of what he's already doing, because God is my thing. It's a relationship. It's not a product. If he's a product, then I need a new one, because a product's always wearing out. There's always a better one coming along. It's the way everything's designed right now. But we are in relationship with Jesus. He is the best thing. Come on. Church, maybe today, that's what we need to meditate on this. Jesus is the best thing. There is no upgrade from him. Come on. We talked about the Holy Spirit 2 weeks ago, but here's what we said about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't make Jesus redundant. The Holy Spirit allows you to know Jesus better. Come on. Come, Lord Jesus, is what he cried in the end. Come. And so he says, and the Holy Spirit's yearning for him. The Holy Spirit's yearning for you to get to know him. And we have found the best thing. Jesus is our best thing. And so how do we keep advancing? Well, look, there are many different things, but I love to get real and I love to get practical. Otherwise, we can find ourselves just having great chats and great theological thoughts or moments, but we don't get to something that's real that I can sink my teeth in. So I thought of three real simple things, and you can think of lots more, and there are lots more. But the first one is prayer. And I want us to think about prayer. And I always find myself, we did a sermon one time, or there was a message one time, and it goes, and it was along the lines of why everybody hates the prayer meeting. You know, sort of thing is like, you know, why we all find prayer boring. And it wasn't a blanket statement, but we were trying to pop the balloon on the elephant in the room. You know, like the prayer meeting's so boring. I want to tell you, our prayer meetings on Wednesday night are nothing short but exhilarating. You would not be able to say they are boring, that's for sure. They have become ridiculous, and we pray and we worship, and it all happens. There was a lady came this week, and she was like, I had to come to praise the Lord because he's just done something wonderful for me. And so she came, not part of our church, but she said, I had to come and praise. And I read that it was a prayer and worship night, and I thought, well, I've got something to pray about, and I've got someone to worship. And she came. I want to tell you, God's doing something. He's stirring something. So number one, prayer. And we'll just say it. Prayer is basic and it's obvious. And yet many of us, we forget to pray, you know, or we get hung up in prayer, or we neglect prayer. And I want to say to you, prayer works, and it always has. It always, always has. Hebrews 5:12 says this. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. James says the prayer of a righteous man, sometimes you get hung up on that, but man or woman, whatever you want to drop in there, us, men and women of faith, the prayers of a righteous person availeth much. Or the prayers of a righteous person, they cause great things to happen. God moves through righteous prayers. God moves through people that pray righteous prayers. In James, it's what that's James, the half-brother of Jesus, this is what he wrote. And the Hebrew, Paul in Hebrews is simply writing this. He's saying, hey, you know, we should be teachers now of prayer, but we're still praying like we're babies. We're still praying like young kids, because we're like, woman, we're praying, and the next thing we're not. A lot of our prayers are just about praying for the things that we want, the things we can get. And the minute we're done, we forget about prayer. But the minute we get desperate, we get them back to prayer. And Paul says, I want you to pray without ceasing. I want you to develop a conversation with God that's continuous. Come on, this is it, isn't it? You know, we don't want to have this stop, start. This is a continuous conversation. Maybe you just need to remind yourself of this every day. In fact, I think you're doing better at this than you realize. Because we were just having a chat with our interns this week, and we talked about devotional time and different things. And you know what we began to realize? We're doing better than we thought. But our natural kind of default position is hard on ourselves, not doing enough. And we can fall into guilt and shame and condemnation. And those are the things that Jesus has set us free from. They're not the places that we live. And so I want to tell you about prayer. You know, we have a house of prayer. If you're not part of it, I'd love you to be a part of it. We pray. There's about 50 odd people that are praying every single week. It is every single day, but not the same people every single day. But about 50 people in total. And over that week, we cover over 24 hours. I think it's 26 hours of prayer. How good is that? It's 15-minute slots. You sign up for as many as you want over the 6 days of the week. We rest on the seventh. And if you would love to be a part of that, jump in. I think we may not be able to track directly what's going on, because we don't know what God does through prayer. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we pray and then we trust him. Sometimes we see it very obviously, but we are praying. There's a daily email that goes out. If you are signed up, you're not getting the email, check your junk. I want to tell you, there's things that's going into your junk mail. I believe this is prophetic right now. There are things that's going into your junk mail and you think you're not getting them, but they're being delivered. You're just not looking in the right place. Come on, I'm speaking to some people, because this last week or two, people have said to me, I'm not getting the emails on various different things. And then I said to them, check your junk. And they goes, I've been getting them for the last year and a half. I was checking the wrong place. What about for you today? Are you checking the right place? If you're not, search till you find it, because the emails are being sent. The word of God is going out. The church of God is advancing. The men and women of God are advancing because the Lord says so. And so we have to make sure we're looking in the right places and we're speaking the right kind of stuff. Otherwise, we can end up going the wrong direction or missing the whole thing entirely. So I want us to remember the basics. The basics today is we're praying. The basics are we're reading. The basics are we're worshiping. The basics are we're forgiven. The basics are we're dealing with our sin. Come on, this is what we have to do. And we need to know the basics. Otherwise, we cannot advance well. And before you know it, we'll drift, we'll compromise, and we'll fall away from our first love. And that's not what we want to do. And so what is your prayer life like? Remember, it's just a conversation with God. This conversation, talk to God. Don't make it too big a deal. I heard people say, well, I don't want to be too irreverent to God. He's your best friend. Talk to him whatever way you need to. God will defend. God will change. Don't let anybody dismay you in that. But talk real to him. It's hard to go in with these and thous. We don't talk with these and thous. If you do, fantastic. If you talk in a different language, please do that language. But come on, go in real to prayer and allow the Lord to speak to you. Get 5 minutes with God. Maybe it's silence for you. That's your prayer. You got to develop silent prayers where you just sit there in the presence of God and allow him to speak. But without condemnation, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Is what is your prayer life like? Would you stay friends with you? Come on, let me just hit you. Maybe I'm like going, whoa, that was a low blow. But would you stay friends with you based on your conversations with God? Now, of course, he never leaves you nor forsake you, but our conversations, come on. We're meant to be in relationship with God. That's the whole idea of being a follower of Christ. We're in relationship with God. Number two, what damage do your prayers do towards the enemy? Come on, are your prayers damaging the works of the enemy? Because we're called to advance the kingdom of God. And what we pray needs to be dangerous sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Come on, Lord, win my friends to Jesus. Come on, Lord, beat cancer in Jesus' name. Come on, Lord, we're believing for a building of a couple of million in Armagh. Come on, Lord, give us that plan of permission. Dangerous prayers that are going to push back the works of darkness. And when we pray, we've got to understand that things move. Matthew 16:24. Here's what I want us to think about when we go to prayer. Then Jesus said to the disciples, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life will find it. You see, if we don't know the word of God and we haven't got the basics in play, then we're going to think that our life's all about ourselves. And when someone asks us to do something, we're going to go, well, what do I get out of it? And we're going to treat it like what the rest of the world does. What's in it for me? But here's what scripture clearly says. Prayer is changing you, but it's about you talking to God. Laying down your life is the way of the kingdom. It's not what the way of the world says. The way of the world says, hold your life at all costs, stamp over everybody else to keep your life. God says, lay down your life. Lay down your life because that's how you find it. Because whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Wow. And so here's maybe your prayer today. And I want to challenge you with some ideal prayers that you could maybe pray. God, you can have it all. Wow. God, you can have it all. Or maybe let's go even deeper because that just words from Jesus just hit you to the core. It's like you're trying to hold your life. You're trying to build your life. You've got social media platform. You got your online whatever. You know, you're trying to hold it all together. You're trying to control everything. You're worried what it looks like. You're trying to defend God. You're trying to defend somebody else. You're actually like trying to work against other people. You don't even realize it because you're just trying to call them up to greater, but you're getting in the mess. You're getting in the way sometimes. God's doing something wonderful. He's building his people. You don't really need to do that. Be a good encourager, but you don't need to dissect and deconstruct for other people. Come on, we got to be wise for this stuff. And so maybe your prayer with courage is, God, break me. Wow. God, break me. I think this is one of the most important prayers that you can pray because one of the biggest struggles that we have is pride to humility. Pride to humility. Pride to humility. How do I get past me? Die to self. And then finally, God, I give you everything. Me, my money, my talents, my time, all the things that are precious to me. All the things. And watch what God's going to do with these kind of prayers. You're going to change the world. Number two, good news. If prayer is basic, then good news is absolutely basic. It's what every disciple or follower of Jesus should do. But can I just share with you again, we have the best news in the world. Come on. I just want to get it out there again. We've got the best news in the world. Does that mean that everybody's going to enjoy hearing it? No, because our news is divisive. But we have the best news in the world. Jesus died for sinners. Jesus died in our place so that we could go free. Wow. And if we trust in him, he takes away our sins and he gives us a brand new start. He does what we couldn't do. He's already died for me and you. He's already died for our friends, even for the ones that haven't got it yet. So can I just remind us that we are good news carriers, that we are hope dealers, and everywhere we go, we bring the good news of Jesus. Is that always easy? No, but that's why we read in Matthew chapter 16 that we should die to self, because whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Whoever would give this life away would give an opportunity for other people to find the life that you have found, and ultimately that eternal life in heaven and avoiding eternal damnation and hell. Come on, guys. We have the best news in the world, and you have a vital role to play on that. And so I want to say to you, we're here to evangelize the world. And so we've got to remind ourselves that we can't get too busy. Don't get too busy. If we get too busy, we won't have time for anyone or anything else. Don't forget. I think these are some of the key reasons that holds us back from sharing our faith. And then don't hold back. We do this. I do this. This is why I can say we do this. I do this. I try to sanitize or try to overthink what this person wants. I try to overread body language. And I'm trying to remind myself over and over again, I am not a guru on body language. I am not a guru on people's lives. And I should just bring love that Jesus loves you and he cares for you, and be bolder with it, and do it with wisdom, and do it with love, and do it with grace, but bring his truth. You see, people are getting saved in our church, guys, you know, in our gatherings. They're getting saved. We're finding over and over again that if people get to Sundays, they're getting saved. We saw it again just the other week, that young guy from CAF camp. We've been doing our alphas. We're about to start our third one really soon. We're just trying to work out the dates because it's 11 weeks, so we're just trying to program that up well. But we're going to see more people saved through that. I have no doubt in this, because when we are bringing people into the presence of God and revealing the truth of God, people are getting saved. It's such good news. And so let me give you Matthew 10, 26. But don't be afraid of those who threaten you. For the time is coming where everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you now in darkness, shout abroad when daylight comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops or the rooftops or your car tops or from the skyscrapers for all to hear. Come on, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, we've got the best news in the world. Make sure to get to a high place. Make sure to get that place where you can get the word out, because this is great news. Come on, God did not give us mediocre news. Jesus did not give us news that wasn't worth telling. He gave us the best news in the world. And here's the problem. Sometimes it's so good people get offended. Sometimes it's so good people can't handle it. But it is the best news in the world. And let's not be the ones that hold it back. Let's be the one that pour it out. Let's be the ones that let it go, because every time a sinner repents, every time a person comes to faith and follows Christ, there is a party in heaven like better than the one before. And so we are a party people, and we're the ones who bring the good news. Mark 16, 15 says this, and then he told them, Jesus again, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Jesus has sent us. We are the sent ones. Come on, church, let's go do it. And then number three, stay hungry. For some of us, we're like, I'm always hungry. Daniel, one of our interns, goes, I'm always hungry, bro. And he's 19, why shouldn't he be? He's a growing guy. He's got to eat to keep the muscles up. He's got the six pack. He's got it all going on. So he has to maintain this thing by eating quality food. And I want to say to you, our job is to stay hungry, because we're advancing the kingdom of God. Amen? We're advancing the kingdom through prayer. We're advancing the kingdom of God through the good news of Jesus, and we're advancing the kingdom of God through being hungry for the things of God. We got to stay hungry. Matthew 5, 6 says this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Or another, if you looked at it in the Amplified, it would say complete satisfied. Completely satisfied. If we would hunger and thirst for the things of God, we will be completely satisfied. So come on, are you fully satisfied? If you're not, then this is what you need, hunger and thirst. And so I'm not sure that we have a hunger issue in the sense of we don't want to eat. I think we've ate the wrong things a lot of the times. And so therefore we're full up. You know what I'm saying? Because if you eat, you're full. And then if somebody come out with the best meal, you're like, oh, sorry, I've just ate. Oh my gosh, I've just ate. It's what happens to us with men's night. Men's night on Saturday nights, people forget we're doing men's night. It's the one that's just happened is ridiculous. It was incredible food, so Kirby's new business. People forget, and then they come full, and they go, oh, man, I wish I hadn't had this. Looks so good. And then I try to slip them a couple of bits anyway, like, oh, I just fancied a couple of bits. But if you're already full, then it's not a question of being hungry. It's you're already full. We've got to make sure that we're not feasting on the wrong things. We've got to make sure we're leaving room for the things of God. We've got to make sure that we're giving ourselves opportunity to eat the things of God, because if we don't, we're not going to be hungry, and it will not be a food issue. It's just because we ate the wrong things, and it will definitely not be a God thing. You know, some people say, I'm just not hungry for the things of God. It's nothing to do with God. It's because we've ate of the wrong stuff and we're already somewhat satisfied. And so there's not that deep hunger. For some of us, we fast to get hungry. That's a lot of times why I do it, because I want to hunger and thirst after the things of God. Sometimes you just have to restrict yourself to get hungry because you're being fed by the wrong things. See, eating the right things is key to life. Ask any of the gym guys. They'll tell you, eat breads, you'll bloat up or whatever they say. Eat the right kind of products, your body's going to work for you. You're going to be rippling all over. You know what I'm saying? Muscles coming out of your ears. So we got to eat the right things. And this is not just physical. This is spiritual. Eat the right things. If we have something to do, seek right standing with God. Feast on the things of God. I want to tell you a quick story. Come on, we're nearly finished, but I want to tell you a quick story. One of the worst things are open plan kitchens. Have you noticed this? Maybe you got one. I've got an open plan kitchen. We've got an open plan kitchen. The problem with this, here's the problem. You sit at night and you're maybe reading or you're doing work on the laptop. I'm talking about me. It may be different for you. Or I'm watching something on Netflix, or we're just sitting around chatting. And then before you know it, your legs have started to move. Your nose has started to activate. And you find yourself at the fridge, at the crisp cupboard, at the drawer cupboard. And you're eating. And you're like, I don't even think I'm hungry. And so you come back, and then before you know it, you're continuing your conversation. And then again, you find yourself teleported to the kitchen. I think it's biblical. You find yourself teleported. I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit or it's the Holy Hungry Spirit. I don't know what it is, but sometimes you find yourself back in the kitchen and you're eating more. And guess what? You're getting full up on things you don't really need. Wow. And it's simply because you're in the wrong position or you're too close to convenience. It's why they put the junk food at the tills. Impulse buys, bar chocolate, bar chewing gum. You know, like impulse silly buys. They're hoping to snag your last bit of change. And I want to say to you that we got to be careful that we're not in the wrong positions. Because if we find ourselves in the wrong positions and we get a tiny bit vulnerable, we're going to eat the stuff we don't want to eat. I don't think anybody wants to sit and eat junk food all night. You would love to have a steak. You'd love to have this. But it comes down to if it's convenient and it's handy. Or it simply comes down to I've been busy, so I don't have time to prepare a good meal. So I'll just fast on this. I'll just feast on this simple thing. And I want to tell you, to stay hungry, you've got to leave some room to eat the right stuff. And to eat the right stuff, you've got to leave some room to have some time to find the right stuff, to spend time with the right stuff, to spend time with the one who truly satisfies, which is Jesus. And so guys, please don't get caught up on it. I'm just not hungry for the things of God. I mustn't be a Christian. It's because you're full up on the wrong stuff. It's just that's the problem. It's not to do with God. It's just you're eating the wrong things. Start eating the right things. And guess what's going to happen? You'll start to eat the things of God. You'll start to spend time with God in His presence, feasting, worshiping, praying, reading, meditating on the things of God. And before you know it, you're going to become so hungry for the things of God that so much so you'll be like, I don't know how I did this thing before, but I'm not going to feast on anything else, only Him, or He's all that I want. And guess what happens? When you feast on the right things, you get the right results out. Rubbish in, rubbish out. Come on, let's just set in the practical. It's the same in the spiritual. If we start to put the better things in, we start to get the better things out. We start to find ourselves more up for the things of God. We start to find ourselves enjoying worship. We start to go, actually, I love the prayer times. I love reading. I love worshiping. I enjoy sharing my faith. Everything starts to turn around because the right kind of stuff's going in, and it begins with hunger, and it begins with leaving room to feast on the things of God. Come on, we are the men and women of God. And so some of the things that we got to eat is we got to eat holiness. We got to eat humility. We got to eat presence of God, time with God, love with God, the Word of God. We got to start eating these things, and they're going to grow fruit in your life that's so much better than the fruit you've got right now. Come on, there is so much more that He has for us. And why is this important? Because I will build my church through you and through me, says Jesus. And the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, the spirit, the place of death will not prevail against you. This is who we are in Christ. Church, we are advancing the kingdom of God. God is using our lives. And you might go, my miserable life, and God's going, I love your life. Just begin to spend time with Him, begin to refocus on Him, begin to eat the right things, and you're going to notice an incredible difference in terms of your going for God and in terms of your living here for Him. Church, we're going to pray. I love you. God's called you to be the church. Let's rise up and be the church that He has for us. We are advancing the things of God. Come on, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, and we pray, Jesus, for anyone who has never, ever come to know Jesus. Right now, if Romans 10 says, if we would believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, then we will be saved. Our sins will be forgiven. Old things will become new, and the past has been deleted, and suddenly we become new creations in Christ. Lord, I pray right now for whoever needs to do it, they're saying yes now. Go for it. And I pray, Lord, if we say yes, then we'll go on this journey by the help of your Spirit. We will go forward. We'll find a church. We'll stay online. We'll read our Bibles. We'll start to pray. We'll start to pursue the things of God. And we will find that the Spirit of God helps us. We don't have to do it in our own strength. Lord, I pray for those that know you and are walking with you. And I ask you, Lord, come and do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think in our lives in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you would move. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would transform. We are advancing as the men and women of God. Make us hungry, Lord. Remind us of the good news and cause us to be people that would pray. And when we start to move, we will start to see the hand of God all over us, and we'll begin to rejoice, and we'll come alive. And so, Lord, thank you for who you are, and thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.